So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're just going to do the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to get into the meat of this. Instead, we'll stay on the surface. Verse 1, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is, stop right there. So it's interesting that Paul is writing this, and again, he identifies himself as what? This is the second time in this book he's identified himself as a prisoner. I don't think this isn't a bragging right. This is not something he's saying, well, I'm in jail, what about you? No, this is Paul saying to the Ephesians, I know where I'm at, and I know what got me here, and I'm not ashamed of being here. I'm perfectly content with my position as a prisoner. I'm perfectly happy with the fact that I'm in jail for the sake of Christ. I have no shame in my situation. And so he's perfectly content. But then he also turns the discussion around, and he says to those who are reading this letter, he is imploring them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, it's interesting because he's not writing this to ministers. He's not writing this to laymen even. He's writing this to the church. He's writing this to Christians, period. And so he is telling the Christians, hey, you have a responsibility for what you have been saved for. You have a response. You have a life to live for what Christ has done for you. You know, I when reading this and preparing this, the various youth events that I've been to over the years, they would use the Saving Private Ryan clip. You know the movie Saving Private Ryan? It's a few years old. It was very graphic in its time, and you know, all this. And at the end of the movie, you have Matt Damon's character, Private Ryan. He's going over to Tom Hanks' character who's dying. And, you know, the whole Tom Hanks' unit was sent to do one thing, to save Private Ryan, to get Private Ryan out of the battlefront because his other two brothers had died. And he didn't, and the military at that time didn't want to have to didn't want to risk a third son of a family being killed. So they sent the unit that Tom Hanks is responsible for out to by foot. They're walking across Germany, going to unit by unit, trying to find Private Ryan. And so they're tasked with this responsibility of finding this guy all over Germany. They're looking for him. And most of the unit that is tasked with the responsibility of saving Private Ryan is killed. And Tom Hanks, who is the squadron leader, he is there and he's dying. And he's sitting there and Private Ryan is talking to him, and he's trying to console him in his struggle and everything. And Tom Hanks' character looks up and he just says, "Earn this, deserve this, earn this." And then it fades in from there to him standing over the grave of this commander, and he's talking to his wife. He said, "Was I a good man? Did I live a good life? Did I make a good impact on this world? And his whole mind was talking, in his mind, he's going over this conversation that he had in that scenario. And we look at this conversation that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying to them, I want nothing more but for you to walk in a manner worthy of that which you have been called to be. And he goes on, he gives us some qualities to live by: humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, in love. We've been talking a lot about love. You know, love is peppered throughout all the Bible, because the main idea of the Bible is God's love for his creation, his world that he created. He demonstrates his love from the very beginning in that he created mankind. He created this whole world for the purpose of man. He put everything into motion, and then he gets to the last part, and he says, now let us make man in our image. And so he makes man, male and female, in his image, in the image of God. I think it's very descriptive in the language there when the writer of Genesis, when Moses, who's attributed to writing the book of Genesis, puts that double comment there. He goes in, it's almost like redundancy. He says, and so God made man in the image of God, he made him male and female. And so God, we are made in the image of God, and God loves us because of who he is and how he has demonstrated his love throughout all the world. Because even though man failed and fell into sin, God still cared for him. God even went as far as providing the sacrifice and covering the nakedness, the shame that Adam and Eve had experienced that put them in the bushes or hid them from God. It was God who demonstrated love and compassion there in sacrificing an animal to cover the shame and the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Love is the main point. God's love for us, and in response, our love for him. Verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, there's a lot of things in our world that create turmoil. There's a lot of reasons for hostilities. There's a lot of problems that we face. There's a lot of differences. In fact, we look at our differences more than we look at our similarities in our world today, don't we? You know, in so many cases, you can identify how you're different from your neighbor. Whether it's the way you vote, the church you belong to, or the your family structure, or your activities, we identify in so many different ways. We put so many different terms of descriptions in our life to make our identities more difficult, more different than everyone else. But the truth is, we're all the same. We're all sinners. We're all saved by God's grace. Not deserving that grace, not earning that grace, but that grace was given to us in the form of Christ Jesus dying, the perfect, the one who said, I'm better, that could have said, I'm better than all of you. And I can prove it. Instead, he was the one that said, I came to serve, not to be served. I came to lay aside my differences and show you a better way. You know, in our culture today, we have a conversation that's going on. And it goes into the conversation of our identity. And I remember I was listening in on a conversation on the radio here recently. And, you know, they were talking about how people are having identity crisis, whether it's the you know, the transgender conversation or whatever. And the person said, of all the people in all human history, Jesus Christ probably could identify with a transgender person better than anyone else. And they went on to say, think about it. He came from heaven. He gave up his throne in heaven to take on an earthly human body and subjected himself to the laws of the land. But he never reached out to his divinity as the Son of God as an exemption for his behavior. Instead, he demonstrated through all his obedience to all the world. And it even says in Scripture, he grew in favor of God and man. He never saw excuse to follow the rules of this world. But he didn't just follow the rules of the world. He lived above the rules and the patterns of this world. And he showed us a better way. He loved the unlovable. He died for the unforgivable. At least those who feel that they are unforgivable. And he lives eternally. And now we have eternity with him because of what he's done. So remember who we are, and may we always remember to walk in the manner that we are called to walk. We are called to be different from this world. Jesus said it best, the standard you judge will be the standard you are judged by. He did not come to judge the world or condemn the world. He came to save it. What's our responsibility? What's our opportunity? It's not to judge the world. It's to bring salvation to those who know they need it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you.